Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Yesterday, Tom Brady posted a clip on Instagram of himself getting into it with Jalen Ramsey before last season's AFC Championship game. Now, we can't hear exactly what they're saying, but it looks like Ramsey has ticked off both Brady and Gronk this week. So, Shannon, what does this tell you about Brady?
It tells me that Brady thinks a lot more of himself than we previously thought. Mm. And so these Tom versus Time, or these clips, give us an insight. And I told people this a long time ago, and they didn't want to hear me. I say quarterbacks have the biggest ego of any player that plays in the NFL. They just do the best job of hiding it. Mm. But what we've seen over the last, eight, 9 months in Tom versus Time, and Tom versus Time, the epilogue, and Tom versus Time, the Phantom Menace, all that other bull jive, is that Tom Brady is patting himself on the back. Oh, this is what I'm thinking. I get to look the competitor in his eye. This is the first time you're on the field and they're on the field, and you get to look them in their eye, and you get to say, let's go! Let's go! Skip, this is a whole bunch of bull jive.
Really?
Yeah, it is. Now, all of a sudden, Tom Brady wants to offer us a glimpse, because he's peddling something again. He probably got a book coming down the pipeline, but that ain't none of my business. Jalen Ramsey and the Jags, they talk. Mainly Jalen Ramsey. Now, all of a sudden, Tom Brady, he wants to put out a little, what he's watching on his phone. They got it playing up in the background, you know. Yeah, you know, you come out there on the field, because all week you've been practicing. This is the first time to see him, Alex. You know, this is the first time you look him in the eye, and you know the guy's thinking, that's your competitor, that's the fire inside. I was like, oh, I just can't. You know what, Skip? He rubs me some kind of way with all this stuff.
He does.
You know why? Because for the last 15, 16 years, he had this, oh, Tom Brady, he's so humble. Oh, he's such a great guy. Oh, my God. He's just so unassuming. He could care less about it. Boo jive! Tom Brady loves some Tom Brady. The only difference between him and T.O. is T.O. told you he loved T.O. Tom Brady loved Tom Brady, but he tried to hide behind it. Oh, golly gee whiz. Oh, I'm just a total team guy. We have to play better. If we play better, everybody, it starts with me because I'm the quarter.
That doesn't sound like him.
Because he got me so, he got me so upset with this this fakeness to the, it's fake.
Wow.
Because he put on this front for all these years that Tom Brady, the last thing on Tom Brady's mind is Tom Brady. But comes to find out, the first thing on Tom Brady's mind is Tom Brady. Now, all of a sudden, Skip Bayless, I wish I could change my pick. I'm not going to change it. But
you
I would
do it. No, no. You have my blessing.
No, because I don't flip flop.
You don't flip flop?
No.
That was the untruest thing I ever said on the show.
What do you think I am? You think I was born in Woodstock? I don't wear flip-flops.
Woodstock?
Yeah, that's what they wore at Woodstock.
Did they?
I came from Goodstock, not Woodstock. So I don't wear flip-flops.
Well, flip. I don't care. Do it. That's what your heart's telling
you to do. I'm counting on Jalen Ramsey.
You know why you won't do it? Because you're afraid of this guy on the football field.
I know Calais Campbell. I know that's my dog. And Malik Jackson. I need y'all to hunt. Because I want y'all to look Tom Brady in his eye and say, this what you want? This what you've been asking for. Because you keep on, you know, my grandfather, you say, boy, don't borrow bad luck. You keep asking for it, Tom Brady. You borrowing bad luck. You're talking about, oh, I'm looking in the competitor's eye. That's the first time when y'all on the field. He hollering, let's go. Well, let's go, Jags. Bring that pain. Turn it up.
Turn it up. Does Aaron Rodgers hide his diva ego?
No, he hides it.
No, he doesn't.
Skip, I don't have a problem with that. I believe in conspicuous consumption. If you have it, flaunt it. But don't hide behind this golly, just squeaky clean. Oh, I'm so unassuming.
So, as usual, you have completely, once again, swung and missed
when it comes to
Tom Brady. I have told you from the start, this is the ultimate split personality. And both personalities are dead on authentic personalities, because there is the nerdy dad next door who posts lame Facebook posts. About his kids.
Throw it up leaves in the backyard.
And that's the guy who shows up in the locker room that everybody believes in because he's 1,000% real. James Harrison said, I went in there skeptically last year at the end of the year to check him out and see how phony he was. And what did James tell us sitting right here in this chair? 1,000% real. True. No, he didn't say that.
He had his fingers crossed.
I've never heard a single expatriate, and I've worked with many of them, say one negative thing about Tom Brady, the leader of the football team. But what I always tell you happens in big games on Sunday afternoon. Psycho Tom emerges. And the first time I saw it for real was back in 2007 in December when the Patriots were 12-0 going up against the number one defense of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And this poor kid named Anthony Smith made the mistake of calling out Tom Brady and the 12-0 Patriots by saying he guaranteed a victory. And what did Tom Brady do right off the bat in that game? He went after Anthony Smith. Now, he did have Randy Moss, and it helps to go after Anthony Smith when you have somebody who can run by Anthony Smith.
Yeah.
And he ran right by him, 63 yards later, touchdown. And guess who was in the end zone in about 2 seconds?
Tom.
Psycho Tom. He was right in the face of
poor It should have been taunting.
Well, today it would be a taunting penalty.
It would be today. It should have been then.
It wasn't a taunting penalty.
Yeah.
Then. They weren't calling it like that. Fine. Should've. He would have taken the 15 yards because he was inspiring his whole football team because they saw that guy, and that guy is scary, man, because he is truly psycho. He goes somewhere else. And last night you got to see an off-the-field glimpse of Psycho Tom because he lives for these moments. He lives to inspire his team because all he did in that Facebook post, or it was an Instagram post, was he called out Jalen Ramsey. He's basically saying, Jalen, I am coming for you. And think of what he posted. A 40-year-old man on the field before the game with 12 stitches in the palm of his throwing hand. Think about this. And he's going after the 23-year-old stud of the Jacksonville Jaguars, probably the best, at least young corner in pro football, best corner in pro football. And he's going after him on the field, and you give him no credit for that.
I give him a lot of credit. He's a great player.
How do you think that inspired his teammates? Brady's going after Jalen Ramsey on the field before the game.
What is Coach Belichick going to say?
Well, I don't care. This guy runs the football team.
No, he does not.
Yes, he is. He's the leader of the whole show.
He is the leader, but he don't run the team.
Oh, God. So I got to read this quote that I saw this morning because it sums up who Tom Brady is. This is going to make you vomit over there, and I don't care because it's just too good. If we could see this, please. Tom Brady told, he did a media session yesterday, and he said, talking about trash talk, I think it raises everybody's game as long as it doesn't get to the point where you do something stupid. Emotion in football is critical, Shannon Sharp. Mm-hmm. You have to have the energy and emotion because it's a game of poise, certainly, but it's also a game of just cutting it loose. And that's got to be a lot of confidence, a lot of trust in the people that are next to you so you can go be really free of what you're doing to go play a very anticipatory sport because football is all react. It's quick. Boom, boom, boom. You have to react to the defense.
Absolutely.
React.
Yeah.
And you have to be supremely
yes.
confident.
Yes.
And you have to channel and yeah. funnel your emotions yeah. into your quick anticipation. So Brady goes somewhere else. He goes into his twilight zone. I don't know where he is because he's not in his right mind during the game, but he's in his football mind. He is psycho Tom.
Yeah.
And he lives for these challenges, so he is relishing that Jalen has called out Gronk and said, when quarterback
yeah, he called out Gronk. He didn't call out Brady. He preys on Brady.
Good. But again, you called out his teammate and his favorite receiver. And Tom knows they are up against it because help me out here. Does he have a running game on Sunday in Jacksonville?
Oh, that's Blake Bortles.
Oh.
That's Blake Bortles.
Okay.
Isn't that what you're talking about Aaron Rodgers? Huh. He's going up against Kirk Cousins.
But hold on just a second. Oh. Rex Burkhead, concussion protocol. Jeremy Hill, ACL tear, gone for the year. Sony Michel's hurt. No running game. What are you going to do?
Skip.
And the top three receivers from the AFC Championship game are no longer
Skip, if you don't mind me asking, when have they ever had a de facto running back with the exception of Corey Dillon?
LeGarrette was.
But he's always been a running back by committee
yeah.
also. Well, he's never been
I
the
don't know.
Guy.
There are games. Some games, Belichick
yeah.
could just say, we're just going to feed the beast.
Right. And guess what? And then the next game, Gray. You remember okay. Gray had that 200 yards mm-hmm. and he showed up late. And the
yep.
next day, you know, he's in the doghouse. He was off the team.
Yep.
But they've always, for the most part, been running back by committee.
Mm-hmm.
So, but my only problem is, you see, you got to have emotion. I know a guy played with emotion and everybody criticized him. One T.O. He played with that same emotion.
He was me-o. He was me first.
That's Brady-o.
Tom Brady is the ultimate team leader. Was T.O. a leader of his football team? Did he inspire them to championships?
Yeah.
He did.
Played with a broken ankle in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Came back. played hurt.
And that made Donovan force balls to him.
No, Donovan ain't forced
balls. And Belichick's over there saying, please throw him another one because he's going to have the quietest 122 yards receiving. He caught 9 for 122. And how many times did he get in the end zone?
None.
And it took a bomb to little Greg Lewis, their only speedster at the end of the game, to even make it respectable.
Well, you make it seem like they had 45 points. They only had 21 points, so it wasn't a whole lot of people getting in the end zone, Skip.
Who dined at your restaurant that night? Tom Brady did.
Yeah. And
should have been MVP for the fifth time.
But I expanded because I expected to see him, too.
Oh.
And so last year, I finally got my third visit from Tom Brady at my restaurant. I serve hot ales, hot dogs.
So do you realize that Tom Brady last year against this team with no Rob Gronkowski and 12 stitches in the palm of his throwing hand in the cold in Foxborough, threw for 138 in the fourth quarter and 2 touchdowns to bring them back from 20 to 10 down. Jalen Ramsey knows that.
Yeah.
He knows what's coming.
But they're
and
exactly
now Tom
doing that.
Very quietly in his home is saying, Jalen, we are coming for you.
Okay, that's the key. Okay, here's my and Coach, you made some very good points. Mm-hmm. I'll give you credit.
I made great points. Thank you.
Okay, if that's the case, why you got to put it on IG? Why you can't keep that to yourself? Like you always tell me, why LeBron got to post all this stuff? Why can't
that
you just keep it?
That was for Jalen and the whole Jaguars defense.
Mm-hmm.
I am coming for you. I got one hand tied behind my back.
You ain't got no one hand.
I don't have a running game. I really don't have
You've
much.
You've never had a running game.
We just had to go out and sign Corey Coleman. And what's the other guy's
Benny
name?
Fowler.
Benny Fowler. Really? You had to go sign those two on Monday because you are so weak at receiver?
I tell you what. I want LeBron to start. Everything you do, LeBron, I want you to I know you're watching,
LeBron. LeBron posts for LeBron. Brady.
Who the hell you think he posted that for?
He's posted for the Jaguars. He wants to go win this game. This is why he's still playing at 41. He lives for this. He is up against it. I told you, it's the toughest game on their schedule. It's the hardest game to win this year. It's the one game they should lose, and they're going to win it because of that number 12, who is the number 12.
Whatever.
You know it in your heart, or you'd flip your pick.
Tom,
if you had any guts.
I ain't got no guts.
If you had conviction, if you had courage.
I'm a computer.
You would say, no, you're not.
I'm a robot.
You're a robot. Well, the robot, if you take your emotion out, your Brady-hating emotion, then you know. Mm-hmm. So you have admitted publicly that in the end, the robot in you says, he's just too good for Jacksonville.
No, I'm not saying that.
You said.
No,
then pick Jacksonville.
I'm saying the guy. I'm saying the court, like you told me, the quarterback that he's going against, like Aaron Rodgers, he's going against old Kirk Cousins. Oh, Kurt. He's going against Kurt. So Aaron Rodgers is going against Blake.
Blake
Bortles.
Was ahead 20-10 in the fourth quarter last year. That's pretty great.
Yeah, can you tell the people at home how many points the defense gave up?
Well, what did Blake do at Pittsburgh in the previous game? He threw a party.
Skip,
he's capable.
The Steelers defense?
I don't know.
Why every year we don't pick them to go to the Super Bowl because of their defense. Now all of a sudden you want to throw a ticker tape parade for what Blake Bortles did.
Okay, but he did do that on the road in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
That's pretty great. Well, he's capable.
And
he's capable of winning the game in Foxborough unless number 12 with 12 stitches in his hand says no.
He's incapable. Of winning the game in Pittsburgh. Because you know why? Because his coaches doesn't instill confidence in him. Because they take a knee with 55 seconds and 2 timeouts on the 25-yard line. Where my guy Dougie P says, I don't sit on no lead. No lead is safe from Dougie P.
Yeah, so he rips Doug Marrone in his book.
Yeah, ripped him. He should have ripped him.
Fearless.
Yeah. And Dougie Marrone told a lot about he hadn't watched the Super Bowl since he was 12. He need to quit.
Okay. Yeah.
You believe that?
I don't know what to believe.
You know,
I've known coaches who didn't watch the Super Bowl. Tom Landry would never watch the Super Bowl.
It's hard for me to believe. Okay, Tom Landry, but they weren't
because playing. They would get one game away and he just couldn't stomach it. You
I
know?
Get that, but they didn't have the Super Bowl when Tom Landry was 12. They've had the Super Bowl.
I don't
Bowl.
Believe that he's.
Exactly, that's my point.
Well.
Shannon, final prediction before we move on?
He likes Brady.
He's
he loves
I got
Brady.
I got Brady to close.
Loves Brady. Go ahead, have some guts. I'm giving you one last chance.
I'm sick.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm ready.
No.
Because he won't pick against him because he knows how great
he
is.
Nope, because here's the thing.
So just say it. What do we got?
No, here's the thing, Alex. If I were to pick the Patriots, the first and they lose, he gonna come out here, you flip flop himself. So
Lock
no.
It up.
No, I
what
know
is
you.
Your final your head answer. Tell you? It tells you Brady.
I got a headache.
Yeah.
I ain't taking my gummies this morning. Right. I need my gummies. No
mercy. All the focus has been on the Cowboys' struggling offense, and now they will host the Giants. We are joined by FS1 NFL analyst Eric Dickerson. Eric, Happy Friday. Welcome to the show.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Who wins Sunday?
This isn't about the Rams.
It's not about the Rams today.
Rambassador.
Well, you know, I'll say this much here. The Giants just played a team just like the Cowboys, pretty much. The Jacksonville Jaguars, and they lost.
That's a good point, actually. I hadn't thought of that. Had you, Shannon?
The Cowboys have a better offensive line. I'll take the Cowboys' offensive line. Mm. I'll take the Cowboys' running back, and I'll most definitely take Dak Prescott over Blake Bortles. I think the Cowboys win this football game because I think they're going to do what they should have did last week. They should have ran the football. You know, I think they're going to go old Ram football. You know it's coming. You stop it if you can stop it. If you can't stop it, we're going to keep running it. And I think eventually they're going to make Eli beat us. If Eli can beat us, fine. I think Eli will, you know, I think he'll, just like he did last week, throw an interception, you know, to be Eli. But I'll have to take the Cowboys in this football game because I just feel like that, I'm not going to say they're a much better football team. It's almost like a you pick them. They're both, you know, kind of on the cusp. Could be good, you know, could be bad. Depends on how, you know, how the season plays out. But in this football game, I'm taking the Cowboys 20-17.
Well, these like those points?
No, I'm taking.
This is a Hall of Famer who just said that. You realize that?
I know who he is. Yeah. We spent time last month together in Canton.
And a guy who made a lot more Pro Bowls than you did.
No.
Yeah, he did.
No.
Yeah, he did.
I think I got him.
I don't think so.
I got 8. You got 8? Oh, you got me.
Really?
Yeah, you got me.
Wow. You got him with 8?
You got me. I'm surprised.
That was the running back ever.
You see what he tried to do? He tried to get up against each other. You see what he tried to do? No. Don't worry. I don't care. I don't care, Skip Bailey. We're talking about these Cowboys. Mm. And they lose it on Sunday night. Mm. Because when you look at it, okay, E.D. said they want to put the ball in Eli's hands, make him beat him. Well, Giants want to put the ball in Dak's hands, make him beat him. They got 2 running backs. Everybody's going to try to establish the ball. But I just believe that the Giants have more playmakers on the edge. Odell, Evan Ingram, Shepard, those guys can make plays as opposed to Michael Gallup, Deontay Thompson, T. Will, Cole Beasley,
the keep tight going.
End. Tight end. Skip, all I'm doing is naming guys. These guys can't make no
You're
plays.
You're just naming guys.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. So basically, it's going to come down how well, and you said the offensive line is not what it used to be. Mm-hmm. You just basically said that Tyron Smith is a bum.
Zach said Barton. Earlier.
Yeah, you did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said
I think they're a little overrated. Because they're not playing up to their credentials, to their hype, to their golden tails, which got kicked in Carolina.
And the defense, I believe Jack Rabbit, I mean, he don't have anybody to follow. He just line up.
Yeah, who do you take?
No, don't worry about it. Anybody come over there.
Take that guy or that guy?
I recommend Jack to Dak that he leave Jack Rabbit alone.
But maybe he can cover 2 at once.
No.
Is that possible?
No,
instead
we good.
Instead of 2-on-1 defense to offense, you can do right.
I already remember an argument. It's simple as this. Mm-hmm. 23-17. Giants.
Simple as that?
Simple.
So, Mr. Dickerson, I do appreciate all your wisdom that you enlightened.
Yeah, just like the fact that you picked the Cowboys.
It was impressive. He opened my eyes to some things, and he's a Hall of Famer. He was actually, I think he was the greatest in his position as opposed to somebody
thank
else.
You, Skip. I knew I liked Skip for a reason. Yeah.
But what I liked about my man Dak Prescott was his very simple and direct response to Landon Collins. Challenge accepted. Period. End of story. He didn't elaborate. He didn't want to go on. He didn't answer the second, third, and fourth question. Challenge accepted. Here we go. Sunday night, it gets decided at Jerry World on the football field. And I hate to bring this up, but last year against the Giants, Dak, I don't know, he's the weak link. That's what everybody says of the football team. I don't know how he did it, but he completed 64% of his passes, 44 of 69. He averaged 300 yards a game for those 2 games, 600 total passing yards. He threw 4 touchdown passes to 0 interceptions. Is that good? I don't know. That's against the Giants. I don't know how he did that.
That would hurt.
He had QBRs on a scale of 0 to 100. He was an 89 QBR and a 73 for an average of 81. That's really good for a guy that you said had an F performance for the year.
But you only grade him for 2 games.
Oh,
well, what about those other 15?
How about Green Bay? How about the Rams game?
Lost.
How about Arizona? How about Washington?
One.
Do I have to keep going?
Lost.
Oh, please.
I mean, Skip, hold on. Let me ask you this. How do you get to go win 13 games your rookie year, win 9 games your second year, and then all of a sudden you get an 8? Ain't it about, is it about QBR, ED, or is it about wins and losses?
Well, I just thought about wins and losses.
That's what I thought, too.
It's about wins.
That's why you love Tom Brady so much. Oh, Aaron Rodgers, I'll give you this. Aaron Rodgers is the greatest thrower. But what you going to do about those 5 Super Bowls? What are you going to do about this? That's what you always go by. But now it's on
this
Dak.
This is about Dak Prescott. I am ride or die with Dak. And I told you earlier, one of these two teams is going to start dying on Sunday night because they're both 0-1.
You know which one it is.
Somebody's going to start going
south.
You
know which one it is.
Well, I one thing is that the Cowboys, they do have a better running game. I mean, you know, Saquon Barkley, if you take away that 168-yard run he had, but that's football.
Yeah.
He has like 40 yards. I mean, and OBJ.
Two yards a carry for 17 carries.
OBJ, he had 11 receptions, but they were nothing spectacular.
Getting the end zone?
Eli missed him twice.
The big thing is the Cowboys, like I say, well, I think they will go old school football. We're going to run it till you stop it. And that wears any team down. The Cowboys know that even if you don't have the best offense, you might feel like you don't have the best offensive line. These guys, this is a challenge. The challenge was said by Landon Collins when he gave them billboard material. Hey, like he said, accept it. Challenge accepted.
Well, let me ask you a question. If somebody came out and said, I tell you what, yeah, ED, you're not going to get any yards this week. What you going to say? Yeah, you're right. Y'all going to probably shut me down. You're going to like, no, we'll see. Guarantee you. This like, oh, Sharp, you doing all that talking. I tell you what, this is what I tell him, ED. I guarantee you I'll leave here with more catches and yards than what I came in this game with. So what was Dak supposed to say? Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right, Landon. You're right.
No, he could elaborate on it. Like he just said, sure. Challenge accepted.
Yeah. Period. End of story.
Because you know how.
Game
on. Old school, it goes back and forth, back and forth. He didn't say anything. He
didn't say. No quarterbacks ain't going to say nothing anyway.
He said a lot.
He didn't say nothing.
Yes, he did.
He just like most quarterbacks. They be talking, saying nothing. Tom Brady be talking, saying nothing. Mm-hmm. Except when he go home and be on his computer screen letting everybody know, oh, I tell you.
So, I will admit this. It's a crucial night for Dak Prescott. It's the national TV stage, and much of the NFL world will tune in to see Dak Prescott fall on his face, to get exposed as the fraud that this man thinks he is, the flash in the pan this man thinks that he is. Yes, you do. That's what you think he is. You gave him an F last year.
He deserved it. He earned that F.
For going 9-7 with Zeke gone for six games, no Sean Lee for six, Tyron Smith for four.
He tripled his interceptions. He lowered his win total by four.
And what was his QBR? What was his QBR for the whole year?
He finished fourth.
Fourth in the year.
But let me ask you a question, E.D. Do you think Dak Prescott was the fourth best quarterback last year?
In the NFL?
In the NFL.
Statistically, he was.
See, there you go, statistics.
No.
Thank you.
No. Yeah. But I'll say this much here. Even with Dak Prescott, he's not a magician. Your receivers have to get open. I mean, your guys got to get open.
But he got to give him some ball. Did you see him last week?
Against the pressure.
You see it last week? Missed the tight end up the seam, skipped the ball here or there. Come on, Skip Bayless.
Six sacks, 10 quarterback hits, because I'm not trusting my offensive line. The kid from the University of Texas they drafted in the second round, Connor Williams, couldn't block me right now. I'm serious. You want to talk about a weak link. You want to talk about a liability. He is getting manhandled. And they're so stubbornly proud about their draft picks because we draft the best and we grow them. We're just going to stick with them until they turn into stars. Really? While you get your quarterback killed?
If you don't mind me asking, what did Jerry say? Jerry said, we missed some throws. We had some opportunities.
He also said we had separation.
We. Yeah. So, but Jerry
obviously he missed some throws.
But hold on. Jerry doesn't play quarterback. So when you say, we missed some throws, we missed some opportunities.
What eye test didn't tell you he missed some throws?
Okay, then.
Was he not running for his life?
Every quarterback in the National Football League missed some throws. Mm-hmm. He's not the only one missing
throws.
Yeah. He didn't miss as many as Fluco missed last night. I can tell you that. I'm serious.
He didn't play that bad.
Okay. So there's no Travis Frederick at center. And I don't know, Tyron Smith, he's got back issues. He's not blocking as dominantly as he once did. And I don't know, Zach Martin has a knee issue that
it's hard to drive off of.
I don't know. They got whipped badly time and again in Carolina. And my play caller, I don't know what he was saying. I think he was actually trying to lose the game. That's how it came across
please.
The game. It's like, what are you doing? You abandoned Zeke. Now, Zeke's not in football shape yet. I'm sorry. He hadn't played in a football game for 252 days. Well, he's been, instead of eat Zeke, eat, he's been 8-8, you know, like he's.
Yeah. You know what? That man is good at
football. You called him that. That kid you went to see in Cabo, remember that, when he was doing his six-game suspension, who got in supreme shape? When he came back, I was saying, I'm seeing abs, man. Now I'm seeing a little roll.
He got that AD.
Got to get that ball to him.
Zeke got that spade gut. You know, he got that stomach still. He got the car holding on the hand like this.
Some pushaways.
I mean, Sunday, I've seen the little double chins coming back. Well, I don't want to see that.
I tell you what,
he hadn't played. He's got to play his way into
shape. This is how you know Zeke's in shape. when he come out there with that shirt rolled up, and he look, he got them tennis balls in his stomach. That's when you know Zeke's in shape.
I will buy that. And now defensively, I like my defense. But I really like Randy Gregory, and he's in concussion protocol. Am I going to miss this? Because we got one pass rusher on one side, but we need the book.
That's all you need. Against Eric Flowers, that's all you need. Yeah. That's all you need.
Yeah, but Saquon will be chipping him, and God knows what else they'll
do. But still, that turnstile. That's a turnstile. That's easy money.
Okay. So you like my Cowboys? You want to switch your pick now?
No, I can't.
What did you say, 23-17?
23-17, Jack.
23-17. What'd you say, Skip?
I haven't said yet.
You know what, Skip?
I can't believe I'm going out before you.
DeMarcus Lawrence might have a Claiborne game against Chaz Green on Eric Flowers. Mm. I know you'd be liking that.
I would be liking that. I would like it more if Earl Thomas was playing safety for me. And he is not. So maybe they shook off their hangover, their letdown of not being able to acquire Earl Thomas when Jerry Jones, the plunger, just sat on his laurels as he's been since he got in the Hall of Fame. He just sits back and folds his arms and does nothing.
There's no cheap. So where did he go now? He has three Super Bowls. He has a gold jacket. So now what does he need to complete it?
He needs Bryce Butler. He's just sitting out there. He's going to re-sign him. He needs the kicker to be re-signed because the most accurate kicker.
We didn't go get Dez while you at it.
I bet Jerry would love to do that.
What they with at the Beyonce concert?
Talking him out of it. I think if he had his way, he would go get Dez.
That wouldn't be a bad deal. Hmm? I mean,
Skip is done. Skip is out.
If they get shut out on Sunday night, maybe I'll be a Dez fan.
So what's the score? Give me a score.
I do not think they're going to get shut out, and I think my new kicker, Brett Maher, will make some field goals. I just think he will. Maybe he'll just close his eyes and it'll somehow go between the uprights. I'm going 23-20 home team because I believe in Dak Prescott's football character. I believe him on the biggest stages to play his best games because he always has.
Accept it.
You said 23-17?
Accept it.
It's 20. Mm-hmm.
20-17.
Okay, I got you.
23-20.
23-20. Okay. Okay.
No question. Pressure is going to be on Dak.
Dak.
Yeah. Motivation. No mercy. Joe Flacco threw 2 touchdown passes but added 3 turnovers in the Ravens' loss last night. He also shared a little time at quarterback with Lamar Jackson, who came in during the second quarter with Flacco lined up at receiver. Troy Aikman called last night's game and pointed out that Flacco probably doesn't like sharing time. Take a listen.
If I'm Joe Flacco, I'm not happy about this. And Joe's not going to say anything, but I can tell you deep down he doesn't like it. You know, if you're a pocket passer, you're the quarterback. You do not like running out to the wide receiver position and letting somebody else play quarterback. It's as simple as that. They talked to me about doing that at one time back when I was playing. The game has certainly changed, but that was not going to happen. And I don't think Joe's real thrilled about some of the things within that system with Lamar Jackson in the offense.
Shannon, should Flacco be upset?
Hell no, the Ravens should be upset. Because they're the one that paid him 5 years, $112 million for a 39-37 record. Mm. And he has the second most interceptions to Eli Manning. They should be upset.
Since the Super Bowl.
The last 5 years, Skip Bayless. Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing. Joe Flacco could have made this a non-issue. Had Joe Flacco played better, you like to think when you sign a quarterback to a big contract like that, you're out of the quarterback business for the next 5, 10 years, at least. I'm not even thinking about a quarterback, Skip Bayless. I'm looking at offensive line, D-line, receiver, running back. I'm thinking about 100 other positions other than quarterback. There's a reason why they drafted, I think they took a tight end with the first pick in the first round, and then they got back in the first round to get a quarterback. It was because of Joe Flacco's play.
Correct.
So if for the last 5 years, Joe Flacco could stink it up, there was nothing they could do. Because they didn't feel they had an adequate, you had a replacement behind him, but they didn't feel he was adequate enough, Ryan Mallett, to put him in the game. Mm-hmm. Now they're saying, Joe Flacco, we're not going to let you continuously stink it up. It's hard for me to believe that they're going to, after this year, Joe Flacco will continue to be on this roster. Mm-hmm. No, Joe Flacco shouldn't be mad. Joe Flacco should be mad at himself. The Ravens should be ticked off because we paid you and you haven't lived up to your end of the deal. Forget this. How long did Joe Flacco get to keep his job, Skip? How long do you get to keep a job for winning a Super Bowl? They paid him. Joe Flacco has been awful. And he did win your Super Bowl, okay, and they compensated him for it. Hmm. So what, we just let him stink it up and just not try to move in a different direction?
Had Joe Flacco played better, guess what? Lamar Jackson's not on this roster. Mm-hmm. Had he played better, he's not having the lineup out wide. He could stay up on the pocket. Mm-hmm. Talk about how them terrible picks that he was throwing, how he was turning the ball over left and right. No, Joe Flacco doesn't have a solid ground to stand. As a matter of fact, he's in quicksand, and he's sinking.
He's sinking. So I'm watching the game, and my eyebrows did rise when Troy said what he said. But what really got my attention was Troy said that some coach asked him to line up at wide receiver, and I covered a lot of Troy's teams, and I'm like, they did?
Right.
Because he's the one who should have been offended by that.
Yes.
But I cannot put Joe Flacco in the same sentence with Troy Aikman.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because Fluco, as I call him, has no right to be offended by anything. And I must admit, it just hurts my heart to watch Lamar Jackson have to trot onto the field and run some gadget play.
Right.
I just don't like it. I don't know. Cordell did it for the Steelers and they got to the
Super Bowl. But I don't know how that's making him better, Skip. Okay. You want to make him better by throwing the football, but all you do is let him run the football.
Okay. I guess it's better than nothing, than having to just stand.
But that's real close to nothing.
It's real close to nothing. It's real close to beneath him. It's real close to offensive to see him utilized this way because I believe he can play quarterback. In fact, I believe it so much, I told you before the year started, I would go with Lamar Jackson over Joe Flacco because I've seen enough. I told you that. I've seen enough. That's 5 years of Joe Flacco. They have missed the playoffs 4 of 5 years.
Right.
Isn't that enough?
You would
think. Isn't that long enough? I mean, how long do you pay, as you say, pay for the Super Bowl?
Right.
How much cachet does he get?
Right.
Right? How much job security do you get off the one Super Bowl? And he had a miraculous run.
Yes.
And I cannot argue with this postseason stats.
And they've more than fairly compensated him for that, Skip.
Okay, but you pointed out he's second most over the last 5 years to Eli in interceptions. His touchdown-to-interception ratio over the last 5 years of all the quarterbacks who have played ranks 50th. 50th? That's horrendously bad. And his QBR over the 5 years ranks 19th. Well, that's below average.
Yeah. You
know? So that's the guy. So that's why I said, I know Lamar's raw and he's going to make mistakes. He's also going to make a bunch of plays, too. And he's going to excite your team, inspire your team, ignite your team. And most people would say, there is no way you can go with this raw kid out of Louisville. Mm-hmm. You know what? He played for Bobby Petrino, who really knows how to coach the passing game. And I thought he threw it really well at Louisville. And it's kind of a funky motion, but it gets there. And it gets there with some velocity. So I just, man, Lamar Jackson, to me, he can be better than Joe Flacco over time. So to me, Flacco, who cares if you have to line up at wide receiver twice?
Yeah, you should have played better. Mm. Have you played? Because guess what? Guess who get Skip? They've even lined Tom Brady up there. That man has won Super Bowl after Super Bowl. He's in the Super Bowl every year. He wins the MVP. They even lined him up there. And Joe Flacco's going to be mad after the way he's played the last 5 years? Since he's won that Super Bowl, 6.5 yards per attempt. That's lower than Blake Bortles, Geno Smith, and Blaine Gabbert. Now, I'm not even blaming Gabbert because whatever's going on with your offense, he's your quarterback, blame him because it's his fault.
That is true.
Well, how does Joe Flacco get legs to stand on in this argument, Skip?
Yeah.
I love Troy, and Troy does a great job.
He does.
I don't hear the sound, but I know Troy. I've heard him before. Skip, he got no legs. Joe Flacco got no legs to stand on after he's made $24.5 million
I get
a year.
The big picture premise of this is that any starting quarterback would be offended if you ask him to split out at wide receiver.
Guess what? Yeah. Most starting quarterbacks, when they don't play bad, they gone. Yeah. Joe Flacco hadn't played well. He's getting compensated $24.5 million a year. And you're going to talk about he got legs to stand on. He in his starting quarterback. That's what normally happens, Skip, when guys don't play well, regardless of position. When they don't play well, how do you still make $24.5 million? Mm-hmm. They normally move on without you.
Usually they do. So do I think Joe Flacco raised his game because Lamar was drafted and through the preseason he played much better than usual? I do. Do I think he was really good against the Buffalo Bills at home in the opener? It was 47-3, and everybody said, Joe Flacco is
back. But that
was
more Buffalo.
It was more about Buffalo.
Yes.
It was more about Nathan Peterman.
Ooh.
It was more about defensive playmaking.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And all of a sudden last night, Flacco turned right back on cue to Fluco on live national TV in a big divisional game at Cincinnati. He's never really played well at Cincinnati at all anyway.
But you know what irks me, Skip? When I see a quarterback look up at the Jumbotron, you threw the pick. Nobody else. It was you playing quarterback. You threw that pick. And it was an awful pick because Bates playing center field. He jumps, you stares the route down so bad, Joe Flacco, that the guy picks the ball from in front of the receiver running the over route.
He's a rookie playing in his second NFL game. Really?
And he got talking about he should be upset. Huh. I'm upset if I'm a Ravens fan. Because for the last 5 years, Skip, this is what I've had to watch. I've seen more of this than what I've seen in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. That's fact.
Yep.
So you can say how well he played. Oh, he was unbelievable in Buffalo. But I guarantee you, you've seen more of these games that he played last night against Cincinnati than you did at Buffalo.
So, you know, it's classic Flacco last night because he threw for 376, which isn't bad. So every once in a while, he's going to make a big-time throw.
Yes.
And then he's going to turn it over three times. And I read some ESPN stat that he misfired on 11 passes last night where he missed an open receiver 11 times, which is the most in his last 4 years. Yeah. He tied for his most missed passes.
Well, first of all, Skip, on the big run, the one down the middle, that's Tampa 2. You should never throw that ball. He got away because Bates should have picked that one.
He got it in his hands.
Yes! Bates should have picked that in the Tampa 2. There's no way you should throw that ball.
It's just who he is or who he isn't.
Man. If I'm Ravens fans, I'm upset. Joe Flacco shouldn't be. Joe Flacco, he might be. Skip, let me take that back. He might be upset. But I can assure you, he's not nearly as upset as the fans that's had to watch this for the last 5 years. I can assure you that.
5 years is a long time.
5 years. $24.5 million for one playoff.
Boy, I'd like to see Lamar get a shot this year.
When do you think he'll do it?
I don't know. I think the head coach, Harbaugh, I think the owner, I think they really love Joe Flacco.
No, the coach is on the hot seat.
Yeah, I know.
The coach is on the hot seat. Now, there's a lot of – in that division, all of them are on the hot seat.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be the only division.
It is a hot seat.
All of them.
You know what? I think
from Mike Tomlin.
Still on the hot
seat. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. But John Harbaugh's on the hot seat, too. Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, Skip, think about the tenure of all those guys except Hugh. Marvin's been there 16 years. I think Harbaugh's been there 11 years. Mike Tomlin's been there 11 to 12 years. Yeah. So they've got some seniority, but you got to win.
Interesting to see what they're going to do. No mercy. Time for our final topic of the day. Sam Darnold will make his home debut Sunday against the Dolphins after an impressive debut Monday night in the Jets' blowout win. But Todd Bowles said yesterday that it's too early for the hype train after one game, saying, quote, to sit here and say whether he's great, whether he's trash, or whether anything else is way too early for that. So, Shannon, will Darnold live up to the hype against the Dolphins?
For the sake of argument, Skip Bayless, and 1,000% I agree with Todd Bowles. Can we slow this thing down, Skip? Mm-hmm. He did get 5 interceptions from his defense.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when he doesn't get 5 interceptions?
Mm-hmm.
Normally, E.D., when I was talking off camera, normally you had to wait a couple of years, Skip, before everybody said, well, he's this or he's that.
Yep.
Now it's like 1 or 2 games, you're already, he's great or he's trash.
That's what we do.
Can we let this thing play out just a little bit? Mm-hmm. At least give it more than one game, maybe a year. Mm-hmm. I instead of 2 to 3 years, can we just give it 1 year instead of one game, Skip?
Mm.
I don't think he's... We don't even know what he is. We don't know what his floor or ceiling is.
Mm.
Jesus.
I thought that opening night, Monday night, was a harmonic convergence for that kid because he got off to a horrendous start, and it seemed to take all the pressure off, all the expectation off. And he's in the greatest situation for a rookie quarterback because he knows Josh McCown is no threat.
No.
It is a slow hook with the Jets because it's his job. And they want him to sink or swim, and he's got the whole year. And there's no rush to him as the starting quarterback to live up to the hype, except he's playing in the city of New York.
Right.
And, again, I thought that was more about how bad Detroit was in the opening game than it was about how great he was. He was okay, threw for 198 yards. He's going to be pretty good. I still think he's going to be turnover prone, and I will not be surprised if the Dolphins beat the Jets.
Well, I got the Jets beating the Dolphins, but the only thing Josh McCown is going to fight Sam Darnold for is hair products.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, because he knows he has no...
You're jealous of his hair.
I got a handful of hair. But unless he's just like all of a sudden just takes a turn and this hype train just derails. But for the most part, Sam Darnold's going to stay in this game. No
mercy. The Bengals moved to 2-0 after last night's 34-23 win at home against the Ravens. Andy Dalton had a great game, finishing with 4 touchdown passes, including 3 to A.J. Green, in the first half. And the Bengals defense forced 3 Joe Flacco turnovers. Shannon, will the Bengals win the AFC North?
No, I still believe the Steelers, even though they have their issues, Skip, going on within that locker room.
They got a bunch.
Reported that Le'Veon Bell was planning on showing up, and then his teammates became openly criticized him, and he's like, nah, forget y'all. So they still have their issues. Big Ben is nursing an elbow injury. He might decide to retire by week five or six, so we don't know what's going on with there. But I think, and defensively, they're still not up to par. But this is the Bengals. We've seen this before. And I don't trust Andy Dalton. A.J. Green is a monster. He played very well last night. Defense, I don't know how they forced it, but Joe Flacco was terrible. You and I both like, what's the likelihood of Joe Flacco playing two good regular season games back-to-back?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that.
Yep.
But all that being said, the Bengals are okay, but the Steelers are just so much more talented than they are. And you know when Vontaze come back, you know he'll do something to help the Steelers go right down the field and get the ball in field goal range or get a touchdown late in the ball game. So, no, I do not believe they'll win the North. I still believe the Steelers are the class of this division. And so, no, Steelers will win the North.
Yes, the Bengals will win the
North. What?
I believe in the Bengals this year. I have from the start since I watched them in preseason. But I will admit to you, I don't know why I get like this, but I just like Marvin Lewis. But you can't defend Marvin Lewis, but I just like him, and I find myself rooting for him for all the wrong reasons.
Because he's a really good guy, Skip. He's a really good man.
You played.
No, yeah, I played for him for 2 years.
For him.
Yes.
So this is his 16th season as the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, and he is 0-7 in the postseason. So
second longest tenure to Coach Belichick.
Wow. So he hasn't won a single playoff game in 16 years, or 15. Now he's in his 16th. And yet it's fascinating to me that he could be on the hot seat, but this division is going to teeter back and forth between Bengals and Steelers, I think.
Yes.
And so the two most prominent black head coaches in the National Football League are going to be vying for this division and maybe vying for the hot seat, because I believe Mike Tomlin could find himself in a little bit of hot water if his team continues to sort of unwind in the locker room.
I agree.
Come apart.
I agree.
So, I just like what I see from them. You know, I like Joe Mixon coming out of college. Mm-hmm. I said he could be the best running back in that class. I had no idea that Alvin Kamara was in that class. I just didn't even think twice about him. But I thought Joe Mixon could stay healthier than Leonard Fournette, who's Nick now, but so is Joe Mixon. He had a knee injury, but he is explosive, and he can game change. Mm-hmm. When he gets rolling, he's kind of immature. We had the big incident, obviously, at Oklahoma, which I don't even begin to try to defend. But he did get drafted, and he is a stud. He can play.
Okay.
And when you have A.J. Green, you have a chance. Ooh. Because you saw last night, he just took the game over.
Yes.
Against a pretty good defense.
Skip.
Right?
Skip, I mean, some of those defenses. Skip, they're lined up in a 3-by-1. And what I mean, they have Trips to one side. They got the tight end, Eifert, on the backside. Okay, Tony Jefferson has him in man coverage.
He did.
A 3-by-1, automatically, I'm automatically thinking, he takes two steps, I'm going to the slant.
Sure.
Now, if he runs a sluggo, he got me. Coach, he got me.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not even getting that pass off. He's going to hit me in the chest. Mm-mm. I'm looking at these guys. Joe Flacco stares the first interception. He stares the guy down so bad, Skip. Mm-hmm. The guy comes out of the center field.
Yep.
He comes out of the hole. He picks him off on the front side. In all my years, I've never seen a safety do that.
Came all the way across.
He comes out of center field, picks him on the front side. Not that if the ball's thrown behind him, I get that, Skip. He picks the ball off in front because Joe stares it down so much and he got that much of a read on it. I'm like, Joe, are you for real?
Joe Flacco. That's who he is, Joe Flacco.
Man.
Who picked that pass off? Who is the safety that you just lauded and applauded? That is one Jesse Bates, their second-round pick. He's a rookie out of Wake Forest. He's pretty good.
Yes.
He flashes for me. He flashed in the preseason. That kid they drafted in the third round out of The Ohio State, Sam Hubbard, he had a sack last night. So,
discount J.J. Watt. That's what I call him, discount J.J. Watt. You see it?
He was.
Yeah.
But again, when you have Geno and Dunlap.
Yeah. Hey, and Michael Johnson didn't even play last night.
So they can rush, as Flacco said after the game. They can come after you with just four. That's all they really need. Because Geno was just. He was destroyed.
Oh, that's, he a man. He a man.
Okay, he's a man. So they got playmakers. Kirkpatrick. They got guys. Mm-hmm. I just like that they got some revitalized youth on defense. And I don't know what Vontaze is going to do.
What he's going
to
do.
But I just assume they don't need him. They need to go forward with winning football players who don't care about the rough
cheap
stuff.
Shots, yeah, and the dirty stuff.
No, I got it. But in the end, I like them to win because I don't like Pittsburgh. I just don't. They're always so dissension-racked.
And it seems to be more this year. Normally, yeah. It's in during the season, at some point in time during the season, or towards the end of the season. But they started the season like this.
Yeah, and I don't think they have more talent on defense than Cincinnati.
Oh, no, not even close. Okay. Not even close.
All right, because you don't like the Pittsburgh defense,
No.
Do they have more playmakers? Absolutely they do, but Le'Veon needs to count in that, and he doesn't count at this moment.
But J.J.'s brother.
He's pretty good.
Yeah. But, Skip, did you see Joe Flacco scramble outside of the pocket? Now, here's the thing. Joe, why are you scrambling outside the pocket? Well, pressure coming from my blind side. Okay, got no problem with that. You roll to your right trying to get away from pressure. Skip, he stops to throw the ball. JJ, why would you ever pull up when the reason you left the pocket was pressure was coming from your blind side?
What kind of pressure was it? It was blitz pressure.
Yeah, safety.
From Sean Williams.
Yes.
Who got thrown out of the game last week for targeting. But here he comes, and he forces the turnover that ends the game.
That's what I don't get.
It's Joe Flacco.
But if that's Aaron Rodgers, guess what? He throws the ball on the move. He doesn't have to pull up.
Well, that's true.
Why would
you put Joe Flacco in the same sentence with Aaron Rodgers?
I'm just going to show you how special Aaron is.
Okay.
Because very few people can do that.
Well, we know how unspecial Joe Flacco is. And again, maybe he made the Bengals look better because the Bengals in their opener against Indy, you know, it came down to the end. It took a weird.
But they got hot in the second. They got hot in the second half, and Buffalo made the Ravens look better than what they are. But at the end of the day, Skip, look here, and well, we're going to talk about this later. I think what Troy had to say about I didn't hear it, but I went and found the copy of about Joe Flacco.
Yeah,
come on, man, look at the how.
Look, I don't love Andy Dalton, but he's good enough to win this division, and he's good enough to win one playoff game. He just is.
I hope so. You keep saying
just
that.
One. Just
the
one.
Red Rifle. But come playoff time, he's the Red Rifle in the regular season, but he's a cap gun come playoff.
I like his other guys. I like Tyler Boyd, who caught a bunch of
third down plays. He played well.
And Tyler Eifert's kind of big.
He hasn't been the same since he got hurt at the Pro Bowl. No. And John Ross, he can just basically run one route. He can run the go. And they shut that off, and then he's just out there.
Okay. I still like them to win this division.
Pittsburgh.
I would have liked the Browns if Baker Mayfield scored that. No mercy.
Thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Keep an eye out for the weekend edition of the podcast tomorrow morning featuring this week's best segments. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Facts. Sports. One of one.